Where do the misfits go when they want to fit in? Cause I'm feeling alone. Where do the oddballs roll and the psychos swim? Cause I want to fit in.
Welcome back to The Everyday Actor. I am your host, Emma Dayton Peterson, and this is episode 3. On today's episode, we get to hear from Jack Seaver McDonald. Jack and I met in college, and since then, he has completely flourished in Hollywood, and it's been really, really awesome to see his journey. Jack can most recently be seen on Mindy Kaling's show, Never Have I Ever, which is a Netflix original series. It just came out a few weeks ago, so please go out and watch it. You're going to be stuck to the couch for a couple days, just like I was binging it. It's very, very good, and Jack is hilarious in it. I can't wait for you to see him. Before we begin, I do want to give a small disclaimer. At one point in the episode, Jack and I talk about whether or not we have a preference for comedy versus drama. I thought about editing this part out because I especially show a lot of self-doubt, and I close myself off to comedic opportunities. But I decided to keep it in because I think it's very important for all actors to hear that we all have these doubts, that we all, at some point in our careers, feel like we can't do something. But I don't want that to be the takeaway from this podcast. I want this podcast to be a place where you realize that you can do anything, to not close yourself off to opportunities. So I learned that about myself. I didn't realize I was closing myself off until I heard myself talk about it from an outside perspective while editing. So I left it in because I do think it's very relatable and can be learned from. And without further ado, here's Jack. All right, well, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing pretty well, all pandemics considered. How about you?
I've been pretty busy, especially with the podcast, but other than that, yeah, I'm pretty good. How are you feeling after the release of Never Have I Ever?
I am feeling really good. It's amazing the impact it's had so far. It's only been like a little over a week. Yeah, it seems to be doing pretty well.
What kind of impact are you seeing?
A lot of people have been messaging me on Instagram and trying to sort of do message request stuff and letting me know that they really like my character in the show. Also, just seeing people post about it in general.
That's awesome. Really enjoyed it. Well, your character is hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
We watched the whole thing in like 2 days, and every time I was like, oh my God, it's Jack. It was awesome. For today, I kind of want to start from the beginning.
Okay.
When did you start acting?
I was actually just talking to my mom about this. In elementary school, I always loved doing speaking parts in our choir group. And so just in between songs, I would introduce the next song. And I loved reading out loud in class. So ever since I was a kid, really, I've always enjoyed performing and entertaining people.
So then when you went to college, were you expecting to, because I know you went for theater. Did you end up getting your BA, or how did college play out for you?
No, I ended up dropping out of college, just because that's what was right for me. And I realized that what Fullerton was offering just wasn't what I needed at that moment. And I would never say like college won't work for anybody or anything like that. So my biggest takeaway from doing theater in college is just like all the friends I made and all the connections.
I would agree. College is definitely not for everybody, especially in an artistic field. Mm-hmm. You don't always need it.
Right.
So after college, what was your next step after you did leave?
Well, I started to do a sort of an everyday office job for a little bit, just because I knew I needed to if I was going to not be in college. So I ended up working for some mortgage company, and I was just doing data entry and trying to do background acting whenever I had a day off.
Where did you find your background acting?
I started with Central Casting, LA Central Casting, And because it was just, it was a free thing. I just had to spend my time going in to register.
Okay, so when you did it, you couldn't sign up online.
No, yeah. At that time, it was just, this is when we have registration. If you get here in time, you can come in and register. Yeah, we waited from like 4 a.m. to 9, I think. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so for any of our listeners, if you are interested in background work, Central Casting now, thankfully, you can sign up for a time slot, which I was able to do, but I was still there for 4 to 5 hours.
Right.
Just sitting to wait to take the picture. But it is an easier process.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness.
So once you started doing background work, how did you grow from there?
Well, from there, I decided that my next step was to try and be a part of the SAG-AFTRA union, Screen Actors Guild. And I started just talking to people on sets when I was doing background and sort of finding out what I needed to do. And there's this oddly convoluted process where you need to luck into being asked to work as a union person, because the way it works with productions is that they have a certain amount of union people they have to hire, and then the rest can be non-union background. So if a union person didn't show up and they just had an extra union paperwork, then you could possibly get that. And when you got 3 of those, you were eligible to join the union.
So is that how you were able to join?
Yes, I slowly but surely got my 3 union vouchers, as they're called. It took like a year and a month or so. And that is actually like an extremely short amount of time. It's completely luck, unfortunately, but you can also be sort of proactive about it and ask like, hey, it's no big deal, but if there is a union voucher, I would love to have that opportunity. But don't ever be like pushy about it or, hey, I want this, because you're really at the will of these PAs who are like wrangling all the background actors.
So if you were to ask for that, you should ask the PA.
Yeah, whoever you're signing in with when you're doing background, they'll be the ones who are in charge of that and will know if there's an extra union voucher to be had.
Okay, cool. So once you were SAG, what was next?
Well, even before actually becoming SAG, like once you're eligible, then that means that you have the opportunity to pay them $3,000 to join the union.
Lucky you.
I know, right? And so, I mean, for, you know, someone who's just trying to start out and maybe just doing background acting and a regular job paying rent, it can be hard to find that $3,000. And luckily they have payment plans available, but I decided to start a GoFundMe to pay for my registration fee.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was lucky enough that it ended up working. And so then I joined the union. And you have to go in and present your vouchers and be like, I swear I'm eligible, check out this. And they like make sure it's all legitimate. And you pay the money, fill out some more paperwork, and then you're in the union. And so after joining the union, my next step was to find an agent. And so all I did for that was I went on the SAG-AFTRA website, and they actually have a list of approved agencies that will tell you like whether it's a legitimate agency or a scam. And I just went alphabetically down the list and went to their websites to see what their submission qualifications were and how to do it. And eventually someone responded.
That's so interesting. I didn't realize SAG had that list.
Yeah. And it's actually available to anybody. You don't have to be able to like log in to find it. You can just go onto the SAG-AFTRA website and find, yeah, it's a list of SAG-approved agencies.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll make sure to post a link of it in the show notes for everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
I always look for agents on IMDb Pro on different, because then I always just go to whoever I'm looking at, whatever show I like, see who their casting agents are, see who their talent agents are, and kind of go through there. But that's a really good way to do it.
Yeah, I only just recently found out that you could also look on IMDb Pro. So.
Yeah, but it's nice to have a list in front of you, because there are so many people out there who are scams. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are scammed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awful. The best way to tell, other than the actual list, is that they will never take or ask for money that isn't like commission, 10% of whatever money you earn from the job they got you or the audition you had.
No money up front.
Exactly.
So once you found this list of agents, what did you send out?
Well, it all depended on what was on their website. Some of them didn't accept any submissions. And so those were like more top tier agencies that were they would only hear about you and request you. But the ones that I actually submitted to would say, oh, here you can mail in your reel on a thumb drive or something, and your resume and headshot. And so I was kind of skipping those older fashioned ones.
Right. Yeah. If they're not up to date, well, it's a lot of work, first of all.
Exactly.
There's thousands of agencies. But also, if they're not up to date in that, are they up to date in other ways for you?
Exactly. Exactly. So I was finding agencies that they gave me a script and they said, hey, just read these lines and do a self-tape. It would just be like a quick commercial line read. Like, I think mine was treating people like patients instead of customers. There's a good idea. And they're like, give this line a couple different reads. Show us however, like if you're dramatic, do it dramatically. If you're a comedic actor, do it comedically.
So were these mostly commercial agents that you were reaching out to, or were you looking at both?
I was looking at both, yeah.
And then you did they end up reaching out to you, your agent?
Yeah, I had submitted to them. It was Berman Sachs Talent Agency. And I had submitted to her using her script that she provided. I think maybe a week later, maybe a few days, she reached out and was like, hey, I'm interested in, representing you. And you seem like you kind of have the factor that it could take. So then she sent me like all the paperwork that I had to fill out. And I got a little spooked by that, because my brother-in-law had just, he'd been doing research, because he was helping me this whole time with like filming my auditions and things. And he said, like, you know, be careful, don't get locked into a contract with someone for like 10 years and then you can't do anything else. And so I ended up telling her, oh, I'm sorry, I don't think I'm actually ready for this. These contracts are scary, basically, is what I said. And so she called me and she's like, I hate that you're scared all of a sudden. It's not a big deal. They're just contracts saying I represent you and that's it. And so I was very fortunate to have such an understanding and patient agent.
Well, it's nice that she did that, because it shows that she does want you and she does really want to represent you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
That's nice. Maybe we should all just show a little vulnerability to our agents and see how they react.
Yeah. Yeah. See if they're ready to treat you like a human.
Once you got your agent, were you able to go out on auditions, or how did that work?
Once I was represented by Lisa Berman, she sort of let me know what casting websites that I needed to put my materials on, my resume and headshot. And then from there, through each website, she would submit me for different projects, and then they would decide if they did or did not want me to actually audition.
So have you done any self-submitting then, or you went right to your agent?
I was doing self-submitting for probably 2 years, I think, because I was self-submitting while I was doing background work too. And
got it.
So I just had backstage.com as my self-submission website, but I never got anything from self-submitting. It was really rough out there for people without
it's
an agent.
Rough. Yeah, it's rough. That's what I'm kind of working my way through right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's rough.
Yeah.
The only jobs I've gotten have actually been, I've gotten auditions for like indie stuff through self-submitting, but the jobs I've booked have been all through like Facebook and other random audition sites and groups I find. It is rough out here.
Yeah, definitely. And I actually just have joined the unrepresented because of the COVID-19, my agency just shut down and are no longer representing me.
They shut down permanently?
I don't know about permanently. They said in the email, hey, I'm taking a break. I'm no longer able to represent you. But I don't, they're not asking me to like, oh, just wait and we'll represent you again later. So
that's horrible. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, it's not great, but I also understand. And it wasn't a personal thing. She had to get rid of her whole roster, so.
Right.
Mm.
Well, the good thing, I mean, once you're in union, have credits under your belt, it's going to be easier to find someone new.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's definitely a step up from where I was. Yeah.
Well, before COVID-19,
mm-hmm.
I know you've booked so many things. It's been so exciting to watch. I mean, Modern Family, you were in the Geico commercial, Good Girls, so many things.
Yeah.
Tell me about some of those, some of your favorites, your worst experiences, your best, whatever you got.
Okay. I like that. Never Have I Ever was definitely the best. It was just such a great set. Everyone, including the crew, cast and crew alike, everyone was so kind and supportive, and it was just fun to go and, you know, work towards making this show that no one had seen yet. You know, it was all pilot, so everyone was brand new. And there weren't really a lot of name actors either. It was a lot of up-and-comers. And it was just like such a fun experience. They'd let me like do a lot of improvising with some of my lines, and just having that trust from these professionals was crazy and such a good time.
What was the audition process like for a show like that?
Well, for my part, it was actually pretty run of the mill. They just posted the part in either LA Casting or Actors Access. It was Actors Access. So my agent let me know that I had this audition, and I went. And I think at the time I had just the day before done an audition, like a big audition that I was like more worried about. And so I ended up getting the part on Never Have I Ever, which at the time was untitled, and it was just like a 1 day part. And not to say that you can't make, you know, a great part at a 1 day part, but I just wasn't as worried about it. And then it turned into this huge thing for me. So yeah, it was just a regular run of the mill audition for my part. I went in and read the one scene, and then I left, and I heard back a few days later that there was a callback, and then I booked it. But I actually heard that for the main cast, at least the main character, Daisy, played by Maitri, she responded to an Instagram post that Mindy Kaling made. She was just looking for actors, and she just responded, and she got flown out to LA for screen tests, and then she got it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
In one of our other episodes, episode one, he and I were talking about that same thing, that you have to kind of look everywhere for opportunities. You never know what you're going to find.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's so crazy that it's not just these casting websites anymore. It really is looking for opportunities everywhere.
It's a good thing because there is, that means more opportunity, but it's also very intimidating.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Especially being unrepresented. And I know a lot of our listeners are unrepresented as well. It's like a lot to think about.
Absolutely.
But I mean, it's worth it. And it is better than having to respond. Because I mean, back in the day, they only had Backstage Magazine.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm thankful for Instagram postings.
Mm-hmm. No, it's, yeah, it's so nuts because there's more opportunities, but then it's more opportunities for more people that are now your competition.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. For a show as big as, like a Netflix show as big as Never Have I Ever, a whole season comes out at once. When did you audition? Like how long until it came out?
I auditioned last summer. So it was probably June or July that I actually went in for the audition. And then I filmed in August. And I think, so the whole show probably went from July to like mid-September, I want to say. But that was like filming every day.
Right. I was going to say that sounds actually pretty fast.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of work on their part, definitely. I think they only had weekends off and then they were just filming every day.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's a long day.
Yeah, definitely. My parts were sort of sparsed out, so I didn't need to be on set every day. I was only there for like a day or two at a time. I actually got really, I was very fortunate that they liked me enough after my first day that they ended up writing me into more episodes. I wasn't supposed to be in the rest of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is so exciting. What a great compliment.
I know. Yeah, it was insane. I was so grateful.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
What have been some of the best times?
I mean, there are times where I go in and for an audition and I just feel like I really nailed that audition and I leave and I never hear from them again. And just kind of having that feeling of like, no, I really did all I could there. And I just wasn't, I didn't look right for the part and, or whatever it was. And so just sort of over the course of my career, being not necessarily desensitized to rejection, but just being able to accept it more in everyday life has been such a great, like, sort of blessing in disguise. And then also other times where I go in and I'm like, oh man, I was reading off the paper. That was bad. And then all of a sudden I got that. Or a lot of casting offices have dogs. Those are great. I love a good casting office dog.
If I was a casting director, I'd want to bring my dog, but he'd bark too much. So he keeps barking during the podcast. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Have you learned anything in the audition room? Like any, did you ever make like a big mistake or something that you learned from?
Yes. I mean, I've learned that they really just want to know that you can take direction or like memorize your lines and take direction. So it's not always necessarily about wowing someone in an audition. It's about listening and reacting to what they're giving you and being able to put those notes into practice. And so there were a few times where I like went into an audition thinking, oh yeah, this is great. I have such creative choices. This is going to be fantastic. And I end up not getting it because they give me a note that like throws me and I just like do it the same way that I've been practicing.
Interesting. So you can't get stuck in your choices.
Exactly. Yeah. It is so much about being open and ready to change for anything, even if it's not in the audition itself. If you all of a sudden they send you an email like, hey, We're going to have lunch an hour early. Can you wait around until 5 to audition instead of 1? And like, I guess.
And you're like, I guess I have to.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see. Oh, confidence can take you so far. It's crazy. There have been...
In what way?
In the way that, like, you don't... Sort of in that same vein of not wowing people, as long as you are sure about what you're doing. It doesn't have to be the most creative choice or the most interesting audition. As long as you just go in there and like, hey, I hope I can be right for you. Let's do this. And that reads in an audition 100%.
I love that. That kind of takes the pressure off it a little bit. Like, just be yourself.
Yeah.
Be who you are.
Exactly.
What's your goal in your career? Do you have any next steps that you're going to take?
I mean, well, right now, my next goal step is to, get represented again.
Right.
But as far as, like, long term, I just want to be able to do this as a career. I don't necessarily have a preference over, like, TV or movies or anything. So, I mean, I was, before all of this happened, I was taking improv classes at UCB in LA. And so, taking those classes is good for either the resume or just becoming more comfortable with changing things on the spot. And the connections that you make there are also very valuable.
How did you get into those classes? What's that process?
Oh, it's just a matter of signing up and paying $500 for an 8-week class. Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if they had like any type of
audition
or referral or anything.
Not for UCB, no. The Groundlings Improv School, you do have to audition. And I actually did try and go to that audition with a couple of other friends. And we got in, but then once you like pass that audition for Groundlings, you have a year to sign up for classes. And if you don't sign up within that year, then you have to re-audition. But they pretty much pass most people as long as you're like competent on a stage. They just want to kind of, it seems like, I would never slander Groundling School, but it seems like they kind of just want you to feel prestigious. I'm like, well, I'll pay for this class. I passed an audition to take this class.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Do you have a preference with comedy versus drama?
I mean, comedy is so much fun, but I am more than willing to do dramatic work as well. I just haven't really found the opportunity, and throughout most of my life, like doing presentations in class, I just give off an energy that it makes it hard for people to take me seriously. So I don't know if I could nail a dramatic part or like convincingly do it. But I don't really have a preference. Comedic is fun and it's what I've done mostly, but I don't have a preference now.
I definitely think you could nail a dramatic part, so it's going to happen for you one day.
Oh, okay.
I see it.
Thank you. Do you have a preference?
I have a preference. My preference is dramatic. Hmm. Just, it comes more naturally to me than comedic.
Gotcha.
I think I'm hilarious. It doesn't always come through on film.
Got it.
My timing is not always great.
That's what editors are for.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think I'm funny.
Yeah.
One day I'll do a comedy. I'll be like the straight man in a comedic piece.
You know, that's that you always need a straight man.
Exactly. That'll be me. All right. So if there was any advice you could give to a beginning actor, what would you give?
Make sure that you really, really, really want to do this, because it is not an easy road, and you've really got to be committed and okay with a lot of little failures, because they're a dime a dozen. So Oh, also, don't take it personally. So much of this business has nothing to do with who you are. It's just a matter of the part and whether you're right for it or not.
I couldn't agree more. One of the best things I've heard is similar to what you're saying. If you could do anything else and be just as happy, don't be an actor.
Yeah.
Go do that other thing because you'll probably be happier.
Right. And when I first heard that, I didn't like it because it's like, how dare you tell me my dream isn't like worth going after? But then thinking about it, it's like, no, this is rough road to hoe.
It is, but it's so, if you find yourself in the right path and you enjoy the journey, it is worth it.
Yes.
Even doing these little podcasts and connecting with other actors and those self-tapes I do, I enjoy it. So if you don't enjoy that process, it might not be for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Yes, absolutely. If you enjoy the journey, then go for it. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of part of what I want to do with this podcast too. I was talking to one of my friends and one of our podcast guests, and she called it the middle class actor. Like, we're not famous, we're not household names, but we're doing our thing, we are enjoying ourselves, and we're making, even if it's not our whole income, mm-hmm. we're making something.
Yeah.
We're at least making, like, joy in our lives or other people's lives, so we're the middle class actor for now, until mm-hmm. we're upscale and...
bougie.
In a star, yeah.
Yeah.
On the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, there are definitely days where I feel like a middle class actor, where the work feels like work. And kind of going back to one of your other questions about some of the worst days of doing this, just sometimes there are productions that are not ready to be SAG productions. And they, basically, I did a music video a while ago, and it was just freezing cold out in the middle of nowhere, and it just kept going later and later, and their, like, shot schedule they had didn't mean anything. It was just whatever they could get done, and wow. they had to rewrite the whole thing because they just could not finish the parts that they needed. And it was a night shoot, so we were there all night in the freezing cold with, like, maybe these little heat lamps, but they hardly did anything. And they're like, oh, make sure you're ready in costume, we're about to do your part. And then 5 hours later, I'm still in an Inside Out jacket and a tank top underneath. And
that's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very uncomfortable and mentally distressing, but...
That was a SAG? That was a youth project?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was insane.
I wonder what the union would say if someone had... Reported it, yeah.
You know, that's another thing that is, like, I want to report those kinds of things so that it can't happen to someone else. But also, I don't want to accidentally be like, oh, Jack, he reports everything. He's not cool to have on a shoot.
I see that fear. I can totally understand that fear. It's hard because you don't want to be a complainer. But at the same time, this is our job.
Yeah.
We're professionals. We need to be treated like professionals.
Right.
It's important. We spend our entire lives dedicated to this craft. We spend our entire lives auditioning. Mm-hmm. We deserve correct treatment.
Yeah.
So absolutely. We have to decide when we're willing to fight for ourselves and when we're not.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, is there anything else you feel like you need to get off your chest? Do you want to tell listeners anything at all?
Yeah. When you're not doing something towards your career, like a self-tape or reels or working on your profiles, when you're not doing that stuff, find another creative outlet that isn't your job because that is going to be so important to your mental health, to find something fun that still it scratches that itch.
So on that note, what have you been doing during this lull?
Well, my girlfriend who I live with, she's also an improviser, but she's mostly a writer. And so every once in a while, we'll just start an improv scene together. But other than that, I've been trying to do like writing stand-up or doing Instagram skits and videos. So that's kind of been my outlet.
That's great. That's awesome. And actually, now that you're looking for representation, they are looking on Instagram, and if every once in a while it happens that they see you. So
yeah, true, true.
For anyone out there, don't sleep on social media.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, Jack, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Emma.
Yeah. Where can our listeners find you, or where should they, what would you like to promote?
Well, if you have not watched Never Have I Ever on Netflix, go watch it. It's a great show, even the parts without me.
It is a great show.
Yeah, it's really sweet and funny and full of heart. It's worth the watch. I think my episode on Good Girls is still up. But you can find me on Instagram at Jack Seaver. JACKSEAVOR, and Twitter at Jack McDonald.
Perfect. And I'll make sure to link those in the show notes so you guys can find him easily.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you for listening to episode 3. I hope you learned a lot, and I hope you feel convinced to go watch Never Have I Ever on Netflix. If you've listened to all 3 episodes, that means you made it through our launch period. I uploaded 3 episodes all at once so that you'd be able to get a good idea of this podcast. From now on, I will be uploading 1 episode every 2 weeks. So that means our next episode is going to be launched on May 25th. So please subscribe so that you don't miss that episode. And as always, please follow us on Instagram at EverydayActorPod. During these 2 weeks, I'm going to make sure to be uploading resources and staying connected with you guys. If you have any comments, questions, or just want to say hi, leave me an email at everydayactorpod@gmail.com. All links and everything we talked about in the episode can be found below in the show notes, so make sure you check those out. Our theme music is brought to you by the lovely Alyssa. To hear more of her music, please visit her Spotify, which is linked below in the show notes as well. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.
I wanna fit in.